You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
And I think therein is a lesson for us, right? Because a lot of times people today, they sing the songs about Jesus being the friend of the sinners, and it gets kind of translated into Jesus is my buddy, you know, he's one of my guys. I don't think if they could see Jesus like James saw Jesus, they would think that way. They would have that opinion. There would be reverence and awe and worship in James towards this man who was his brother on earth and now is the exalted king of heaven. He would get it. He was never to be treated the same way again.
James, the brother of Jesus, had an encounter with his risen Savior sometime before beginning a powerful ministry. The Bible doesn't give you the details on this meeting, just that it happened, but you do get to see the results in James' letter. Today, Pastor Tom will share what an incredible impact this time with his earthly brother must have had on James. Before, the relationship was friendly and normal, but after, James saw his Savior for who he really was. Jesus deserves the awe and reverence he gets. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James, chapter 1, as he continues his message, Brother Bondservant.
As background to an exposition of the epistle of James, we are continuing today learning about, I think, one of the most intriguing people in the New Testament, but someone who hasn't really received a lot of attention in church history, the author of this epistle, James, the Lord's brother. James is not only intriguing, he is an example for Christians to follow. We're following his example. We're looking at his life. We started last week in an outline, first looking at his role as the brother of the Lord, his growing up years. And then second today, we're getting into his role as a bondservant of Christ. And then the last one, we'll spend a lot of time here as the bishop or the overseer of the church. Now, last time, just as a little bit of background, we learned about his relationship to Jesus as brother of the Lord. He grew up with Jesus in Nazareth. That was his hometown also. But when Jesus came of age and he was preaching and teaching and doing his miracle working and traveling with his disciples, James was not yet a believer. In fact, he was quite confused. He was an unbeliever. He was stated to be an unbeliever. He even directly challenged his older brother, "Show yourself to the world," in John 7. Just what Jesus was doing did not fit his paradigm of what the Messiah should be like and what the Messiah should be doing. He had been taught that, like other Jews who had stumbled over Christ in his ministry as well, and he stumbled over it. But he didn't remain that way, thankfully. And we're going to pick up this week with how James's life dramatically changed. We're going to consider him today in his second and his third roles. Let's look here at, secondly, James, the bondservant of Christ. Open up to James 1:1, and all we're doing is really looking at that first verse that he begins his epistle with. And he says and writes, "James, a bondservant of God," and there it is, "a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad." And he gives his greetings. Now, that Greek noun for bondservant, and some of you know this because Dr. MacArthur wrote a book on this, is actually the word for what? Slave, doulos, slave, the slave of God, slave of Christ. Being a slave of God means James counted himself as a believer. He was a believer in God. He expressed his faith by showing his submission to God. He gladly accepted the title, a slave of God. To believe in God is to submit to God. And then after you've submitted to God, you grow in that submission. No one is perfectly submissive at first, but there is a basic confession of Christ as Lord. Other great men of God had this title too, servant of the Lord. Moses in the Old Testament was called the servant of the Lord. So did Joshua. He took on that title. David did as well. That's the title for a true man of God. If someone's a man of God, then they are a servant or a slave of the Lord. But what's kind of startling here, and not that James would say that he's a bondservant of God. What's startling is that he says he's the slave of who? Of Jesus. He says he's the slave of Jesus Christ, of God and of Jesus Christ. What is that? How did that happen? By the time James penned this letter, he is saying, I am a willing bondservant, a slave of my older brother, Jesus. He even calls him Jesus the Christ. That's not his last name, you know. That means that he's the king, the Messiah. That means that James now came to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the king of Israel. When and how did James change so dramatically? Well, the best answer seems to be that he was changed, he was converted, he accepted Jesus, he ended his unbelief right at the time of Jesus' bodily resurrection. At that time, particularly when Jesus chose to make a resurrection appearance privately to his younger brother, his younger half-brother. Isn't this amazing? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 7, it very briefly mentions this appearance. There's a whole list of resurrection appearances that went on at that time. And Paul, as he's writing this, says, then Jesus appeared to James, and he doesn't mean James the Apostle, for James the Apostle is included in the other appearances. He means the special James of the New Testament, the same James, James the Lord's brother. Jesus made an appearance to James the Lord's brother. Why did he do this? This is so interesting. Apparently, Jesus knew the heart of his younger brother. He knew him well. He knew his struggles of faith. He knew how he thought. He knew the inner conflicts of this man. He knew the misconceptions he had of the Messiah. And in Jesus' patience and in his gracious sovereignty, he decided he would choose this time to clear up all the confusion that he had and do it in a rather dramatic way. In other words, Jesus drew his dear brother into the fold of believers with a very powerful and decisive resurrection appearance. And apparently, Jesus chose to appear only to this one brother. Remember, he had three other brothers and sisters, so maybe there were 8, 9, 10 in the family. We talked about that last week. But out of all of them, he appeared to the one sibling who was closest in age to him, James, and he came to him. And this was an amazing show of special grace to this man, special mercy just to James. Jesus used this appearance to confirm his divine identity to James, which obviously he wasn't getting. And there's more. Through James's dramatic conversion at that time, and it was a very dramatic conversion, it had to be. He went from unbeliever, and he now saw Christ in his resurrection glory, and so he was instantly changed. Sort of reminds us of the Apostle Paul. He's going along as an unbeliever on the road to Damascus, remember? And the Lord Jesus appears to him, and he becomes blind, and he appears to him in dazzling glory and brilliance. And as far as we know, these are the only two men that Jesus ever appeared to who were both unbelievers when he appeared in his resurrection glory, Paul and James, his brother. And so he had a dramatic conversion. And James, from this point forward, was changed forever. But James's conversion had ripple effects on all of Jesus's other younger brothers as well. And I'm going to say by implication, since there's no note to the contrary, that his sisters also came to believe in him. James must have come announcing after this resurrection appearance, he must have gone back to his nuclear family. Of course he would have. He would have come back, he would have gathered them all together, and he would have said, I have seen Jesus. He is alive from the dead. I saw him. You wouldn't believe it. It's amazing. He's glorious. He's powerful. He must have really been the Lord all along. We missed something. Now, can you just imagine all the thoughts that would have flooded James's head at this point? This is the brother he grew up with, whom he had doubted, whom he actually had showed up with other relatives to try to bring him home because he thought that he had lost his mind. He was crazy. What was he doing? People were saying he was demon-possessed. People were trying to kill him. And now standing before him in his glory is not the boy that he grew up with. You know, not the teenager that he did his chores with and he worked in the carpenter shop with. You know, not even the bloody and bruised condemned man that he probably saw on the Roman executioner's cross as well. Rather, James got to see with his own eyes Jesus the Christ in resurrection glory, the conqueror of man's greatest enemy, death itself. Of all the people in the world, this must have been the most marvelous to James. Yeah, Peter and the other James and John and Andrew and Philip had known Jesus for 3.5 years and had spent time going around with him. But they'd seen an awful lot. But this must have been a real shocker to James, the Lord's brother. What sovereign mercy God decided, Jesus decided, to display for his own family, this special family. Remember, this was the family that God in heaven had chosen to be the training ground for God when he became incarnate and would come down here and run around and learn all the things that he did. It was into this family that omnipotence had chosen to place the Son of God, emptied of all the outward display of his divine attributes. It was in this family that little Jesus learned to run and jump and to read and to talk and to handle tools and learn a trade. And they'd seen all this and seen him in all those roles, but they were unbelieving. And so God and Jesus waited. Let the family work through its struggles, work through their understanding. He let them see him rejected by the elders of the people, scorned by the Pharisees, hated by the Sadducees, and finally plotted and turned over the Romans for his death. He let them see his own scourging and his own crucifixion. But right at the point where maybe they felt Jesus is gone, there was something wrong. Jesus must have been misguided. There he is, dead on the cross. No more than that, he's buried in a cold, dark tomb. Right after this time, and I think this is so tender and it's wonderful, our loving Savior, our precious Lord Jesus, remembered his family. He remembered them. And he came to James for this very purpose, to remember them, to help them, to bring them to faith. What an amazing show of tender love. What great affection the Lord Jesus must have had for his own family. He did not abandon them. He did not say, you know, they didn't believe in me, let them go. He came to James. I think he did it tenderly. Yet it would have been a jolt to James. And there would have been correction there for sure, right? But you remember how the Lord handled Thomas when Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I can touch his hands. I got to touch the print where the nails were. I'm not believing. And even the Lord was tender with Thomas. You know the Lord was going to be tender with James as well. That privileged appearance not only removed all of James's doubts and James's confusion, but it changed his relationship with Jesus forever. Jesus was never again to be treated as a mere brother, right? He could never look at him the same, ever again. And I think therein is a lesson for us, right? Because a lot of times people today, they sing the songs about Jesus being the friend of the sinners, and it gets kind of translated into Jesus is my buddy. You know, he's one of my guys. I don't think if they could see Jesus like James saw Jesus, they would think that way. They would have that opinion. There would be reverence and awe and worship in James towards this man who was his brother on earth and now is the exalted King of heaven. He would get it. He was never to be treated the same way again. I think when Mary, who apparently did not have a resurrection appearance to her at all, when Mary heard her son, the son of Mary and Joseph, relay, I have seen Jesus, I've seen him. When she heard that, whatever struggles of faith that she had had were helped as well. And she struggled. And it's at that time maybe she remembered the what we call the Christmas announcement in Luke 1 when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and said some pretty mighty words. Remember that? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. She believed that. But then she struggled with that, just like James and his brothers and sisters did. But I am sure that hearing that resurrection announcement just boosted her faith as well. Jesus was worthy of his brothers and sisters and, yes, mother's undying loyalty and adoration. Mary, too, became a worshiper of Jesus Christ. The resurrection changed everything in the family. Everything. By the way, that's what the resurrection should do for us as well. You know, we get blanketed with so many things that take over our minds and consume us during the week, and we just have to be reminded again and again and again. You are a believer in a man who was raised from the dead, so that even if the worst thing happens to you and me, and that is death, you are still what? Victorious, right? Did you have anything to give thanks for before that statement? You know you have more now. You will live forever. I am the resurrection and the life, Christ said. Whoever believes in me will live even if he dies. That's a promise. The resurrection changes everything for us too. We should be adoring and devoted followers of the risen Christ. And please mark this down. Despite James's very special relationship to Jesus, what stands out in verse 1 as he labels himself is his sincere humility, right? I mean, there is no lofty designation given here, is there? James, the closest brother of Jesus, to the 12 tribes dispersed so far away, unlike me, who's so close. James, the one who slept in the same house with Jesus for 28 years. You better listen to me. I'm the special brother. I got the resurrection appearance. James is well content after years of maturation to call himself James, a slave of Christ. How hard it is for we as American Christians to wrap our minds around that title. Would you give that title for yourself? Would you go back to your high school reunion and say, hey, what's been going on in your life? Well, you know, let me tell you what happened in my life. I'm a slave now. You know, not this, you know, I grew up into an astronaut, a doctor, a lawyer stuff. I'm a successful politician. I got a great business going. You know what I grew up into? I grew up into I'm really happy to be a slave of Jesus Christ. And you know something? I have the greatest master in the universe. How hard it is for us to think this lowly of ourselves, to follow in the footsteps of a man like James, who had every reason in the world to say, hey, let me tell you something about my background. I'm special. You're not like me. Y'all didn't have the background I had. I don't think James would speak with Southern y'all, but, you know. You and I are certainly no better than James. Would you agree? Would you agree? If slave of Christ is good enough for him, then it's what? It's good enough for us. We too should be bound to our master in awe of him. James was changed. James is now a believer. James is born again by faith alone. You don't get born again by good works. And after this resurrection appearance, the very next picture that we have of James, James is now gathered with the other believers, then the disciples, in Acts chapter 1. Why don't you turn there? Acts chapter 1, and in Jerusalem, waiting for the descent of the Holy Spirit along with all the other believers. Turn to James 1. I'm sorry, James 1. Acts 1 and verse 14. They've just seen the ascension of Christ. Verses 12, they come back to Jerusalem, then go to verse 14. It says, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his, what? Brothers. They're there. They're not unbelievers. They're here and gathered with the disciples, Mary too, as believers. James became a believer. And as a believer, James gathered with the church. Are you gathering with the church? Do you regularly gather with believers? Do you look forward to being with believers? James is an example. And not only James, please notice brothers is plural, right? What does that mean? He gave testimony to the younger brothers. Younger brothers listened. They believed too. It looks like James led them to faith. And they're gathered also. And I'm going to say presumably as sisters, though they're not mentioned. James must have told them. And through James's testimony, they are there too. Now the whole family, Joseph is dead, remember the father, he's gone. The whole remaining family is united, and they're united under the lordship of Jesus the Christ with all the other Jews who had believed. Now remember, everyone that was a Christian at this time was not called a Christian. They were all just part of the way, and they were all, every last one of them, Jews. Now, what happened after this? This is James the believer. What happened after this? Well, the scripture doesn't use James's name in Acts 2 and Acts 3 and Acts 4 and all of that. The James that pops up there is James the apostle. So As far as we know, James, the Lord's brother, along with the other brothers of the Lord, stayed connected right to that church in Jerusalem. This was their home church now. This was their local church, and they stayed dedicated to that original church. Remember, from the church in Jerusalem, all the other churches throughout the Roman Empire would come. All the other churches, in fact, down through church history, have come from this one mother church. The church did not begin in Rome, people. It began in Jerusalem, right? Now, I'm sure the family had to travel back to Nazareth some, at least at some point. Maybe they stayed there for a period of time, but Jerusalem became their home. That is where James stayed. He was part of that very dramatic and dynamic church that we read about and don't have time to cover this morning in Acts 2, where it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. There in Acts 2, it talks about the dynamic aspect of that local church. They were day by day continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. See, they were pouring out with thanksgiving in this church, right? Also, it says there in verse 47 of Acts 2, they were praising God and having favor with all the people. James was in there. He was one of the thousands and thousands that were in that church. And also in that church, James must have functioned as one of the very, very limited eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus chose to reveal himself only to the ones that he wanted, and they were limited. And they, by those special resurrection appearances, became important to the church in bearing testimony that he indeed was the Messiah of Israel. In fact, I think as we put together other comments from Scripture and also from church history, that this family, the family of Jesus, remained a close, tight-knit family all the way through life. It's a beautiful story. You find several times in Scripture the brothers of the Lord, and the brothers of the Lord are functioning as a group. You hear about the apostles, the disciples, and then it mentions the brothers. They're still hanging out. They're still together. They're still a group. They traveled together. They remained a group. The family remained very close. Now, through this, the passage of time, James in that church somehow, and we're not told how, grew in influence. He grew in prominence. And we're not given the details of that story, so we have to fill it in a little bit. We would say, well, why did he grow in influence? What happened to him? And we could say, well, in part it must have been because he was a brother of the Lord. That had to be part of it. He was, James, a brother of the Lord. They were called the brothers of the Lord. That was a special place they had in the church. The church was very happy to have the brothers of the Lord in their congregation. Imagine that. And they had some prominence because of that. But I don't think that that was the greater reason why James rose to prominence. I think even more was the fact that he in particular, not Jude, not the other younger brother, Simon, the other brother called Joseph, but he in particular saw the resurrected Christ. And so that was important. But I don't even think that was the main reason he grew in such prominence. I think the main reason, with those others alongside that, was James just grew to have such a great faith, such a righteous life, such devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and eventually such wisdom as a leader, that godliness, that Christ-likeness, that he became more and more like his brother, that became so dominant that just from his spirit, from who he was, from his example, everyone saw a special work of God's grace in this man. So I want us to consider James now in that third and that final role, not just as brother of the Lord, not just as bondservant of Christ or believer in Christ, but third as the bishop or the overseer of the church. Now I want us, since we're in Acts, to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 12 and to verse 1. In Acts 12, verse 1, we're skipping a lot of church history here, but it says there in verse 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them." Now look at verse 2, Acts 12, 2. "And he had James, the brother," not of Jesus, notice, but James, the brother of who? John, "put to death with a sword." Probably means his head was chopped off or something. So James, that is the apostle James, the James of James and John, now is put to death here in Acts 12:2.
James, the brother of Jesus, at some point underwent a significant spiritual transformation. In today's message, Pastor Tom described what it must have been like for James to finally see his older brother as he truly was, the Savior of the world. James' eyes were opened and his life was never the same. This brother of the King became a prominent leader in the church, sharing the gospel message with many. If you enjoyed today's message on Discover Hope, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to ask you to prayerfully consider donating to this ministry to help us expand the reach of the gospel. You can give securely online at hopebible.org. Do you live in the area of Columbia, Maryland? If so, you're invited to become part of our Sunday morning gatherings here at Hope Bible Church. Join us for a morning of Bible study, worship, and fellowship. Find out more by visiting our website. Again, that's hopebible.org. Join Pastor Tom on the next edition of Discover Hope to follow James' journey from unbelieving brother to respected church leader. While the Bible doesn't give specific details on how or why James became such a prominent figure, it does provide you with ample evidence of the apostles' respect for him. The role James filled helped to change lives, create growth in the church, and introduce multitudes to Jesus. There's much more to learn from the book of James, so we hope you'll tune in next time. If you'd like to listen again to today's teaching or share it with friends and family, you'll find it online at hopebible.org. Thanks for joining us on Discover Hope.